We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Carter's has your family covered for every summer first. First steps, first swim lesson, or first sleepover. Our clothes help kids and parents have their best summer ever, thanks to comfy design and easy dressing details. Generations of families have trusted our must-haves for babies, toddlers, and kids. Designed to shine season after season. Visit Carter's.com to shop the latest styles or find a Carter's store near you.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas has styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Yes, indeed. Good morning. Welcome to our Smart Garden Show on CCO. Mary Meyer is back with us, a member of the Horticultural Science Faculty at the University of Minnesota Extension. Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
Same to you, Denny. Great to be here.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to have you give your expertise to our listeners, lawns and gardens. Well, it's 22 degrees, but as you know, being in the business that you're in, that people could talk lawns and gardens 52 weeks a year.
Yes, that's right.
And
plants are wonderful. Yeah. Plants make us happy and add a great deal to our lives. And I imagine many of our listeners are like me, that suddenly winter is here and we are looking at plants thinking, wait a minute, I forgot to plant that. Or find a bag of bulbs in our garage and think, oh my goodness, what? And now, so if any of our listeners are in that situation, we're happy to talk about that.
Or what, didn't get the leaves off your yard.
The leaves, or if your leaves are out there frozen to your lawn.
That's right.
So the winter came quickly, I think, this year.
But it's not the end of the world as far as leaves. Dennis and I were talking earlier this morning. You can get rid of those in the spring, right?
Well, you can in the spring. I am hopeful that the coming week will give us a little bit more milder weather.
A little more melting.
So we can remove. Yeah. The best thing is to remove the leaves from your lawn.
As much as you can.
Yeah. If they are covering up your grass, it will be difficult for your grass to live. Things can mat down, more disease issues. So it is a good idea if you can get out there and rake to do that.
All right. If you have a lawn or garden question, Mary is the person you want to chat with. 651-989-9226. You can call us right now. And you know we tend to get busy, so don't wait. If you have a question, don't wait till the end of the show. Or text. If it's easier, send Mary a text, 81807. 81807. Wanted to ask you, I brought finally, well, not recently, because it's been cold, but we brought our Meyer lemon tree in.
Yes.
Now, what kind of care does that need
really,
as far as watering and everything?
Great light. It needs the best sunlight you can give it. So the south side of your home, maybe west, south or west is the best. Meyer lemons will produce lemons. I've got two trees of my own, and they take a long time for lemon to grow, and it'll be green for a long time, and then it's yellow and kind of orangey when it's really ripe. But they need really good light. They take a lot of water.
Oh, they do? Okay.
Yeah, so quite a bit of water, especially if you have it in a clay pot. It will dry out quite quickly, so they need a lot of water. Not so much fertilizer in the winter, but you can still give them a little bit of fertilizer through the winter. They are actually heavy feeders.
Oh, they are.
Relatively speaking, they're heavy feeders. They like slightly acid soil conditions. Over time, our water is quite alkaline, so you have to be careful. But if you're using liquid fertilizer, that is more acidic and in a small container, that can help you keep the acid, which is good for the citrus, all citrus like
that. I haven't fertilized it recently, but I did buy some citrus fertilizer. I did fertilize it, 8 weeks ago or so. But
yeah, so about once a month in
once
the winter.
A month. Okay.
Right. In the summer when they're outside, you can do it more often, even once a week when it's actively growing. But citrus are fun because they will, being evergreen, of course, they grow year-round. They often will have flowers on through the winter as well as their lemons that are growing at the same time.
651-989-9226. If you want to talk to the expert in Mary, 651-989-9226. Or again, send a text, 81807. Texter says, "Hi, Mary, can I still mow or will it damage the grass?" Well, if you're, if you're free of snow out there and it's not frozen.
If you're free of snow and it's not frozen, yes, you can still mow. And you will see now our soil temperatures are going down and some are right at freezing now. You'll see that if you try to put a shovel in the ground. But as long as the lawn is not frozen itself, when it warms up, you can mow. One of the things about mowing is that, again, you don't want your grass to be real long in the winter because that will mat down and cause problems. So I would say when it's above freezing, yes.
Mm-hmm. Somebody said, sent a text, Mary, that says, "I am already seeing vole tracks in my yard. Is there anything I can do about voles?"
Yeah, this is so difficult with voles, moles, other even mice damage in lawns and so on. That's a difficult problem. There are some commercial traps that you can use, but otherwise it's a very difficult problem.
Mm. Yeah, already.
Already, yeah. Yes. They're moving around because of the winter, changing their location, looking for food. That's
sure.
Really what they're doing is looking for food.
Texter, then we're going to get to the phones. Texter says, "I noticed lots of suckers around my crabapple tree. Is it safe to cut those off now?"
Yes, it is. You can cut those off. Suckers are problematic but very common with apple trees. You could actually kind of get a small forest growing up under your apple tree.
Yeah,
so we're not usually interested in that, and all that energy should really go into the tree itself, into the flowers.
For newer listeners, Mary, we should mention that great website you and your colleagues have put together.
Yes,
fantastic.
Our extension website, extension.umn.edu. You can click on Yard and Garden. You'll see a lot of resources there. What insect problem do you have? What's wrong with your plant? What weed do you have? Lots of resources there. And the link is also there for Ask an Expert to ask and answer questions online.
Yeah, well, we'll mention that again like we always like to do on this show. 651-989-9226 or send Mary a text, 81807. Greg is calling from Burnsville, I believe, with a question. Go ahead, Greg. We're listening.
Hi, Mary. Thanks for taking my call. I've got a elm tree in back that drops all its leaves in October. I've got a silver maple in the front that wants to hold on through November and part of December. Does it do any damage? I mean, I'm running out there on 40-degree weather to try and mulch up these leaves and throw them in the yard waste to get the guy to take them away as quick as possible, but it always seems like there's a lot of leaves left. Does it do any harm to leave that on the ground? I mean, a substantial amount.
It's not a good idea, Greg, to leave it on the ground. Covering up your lawn just weakens the grass and reduces the amount of capacity for it to photosynthesize and grow. So the silver maple is kind of notorious. We have one of those also, and my husband always says he's raking those leaves on Thanksgiving because it's just a very late dropper. It's another way that tree just elongates the growing season. It gets another month of growing out of it where other trees have dropped theirs earlier. So unfortunately, it just makes a longer season for us picking up those leaves. But yes, keeping at it will really benefit your lawn.
Very good. I want to remind our listeners, Mary, that our friends at Buy the Yard sponsor the show, maintenance-free outdoor furniture. In fact, I should mention, too, it's time for the holiday gift card promotion. You just visit buytheyard.net for details, and we thank them for their support of our Smart Garden Show. Let's see. Thank you, Greg, for the call. Barb is calling from Rochester, I believe. Barb, you're on CCO.
Good morning to both of you.
Thank you.
I have a hibiscus tree that it was beautiful during the summer outside. I'm attempting to overwinter it. inside. So I can bring it inside. The leaves look healthy. They get buds again on them. But before they pop, the buds actually fall off. What? Is it just something that's going to happen because it's inside? Do I fertilize it a little more? What can I do to really successfully overwinter this hibiscus tree?
The most important thing is bright light. So put it in the best light conditions that you have. It is possible for it to form flowers and bloom indoors. But these first ones may not have the capacity yet because the light level is going to change so much for it that it reduces the amount of food reserves that it has in the plant. So it just give it the best light you can. Fertilization, I would say, yes, you can still fertilize it about half or a third of what you were doing when it was outside. Hibiscus, again, needs a lot of water. Those big leaves, they're very thin. It will need water regularly, especially maybe even more when it's indoors because it's so dry now in the wintertime. But good light conditions, and yes, you can get a hibiscus to flower. One thing I will caution you about is you might want to really inspect it well, even put it in your shower and completely wash it off if you didn't do that already, because it tends to bring in insects from the outside. Spider mites, aphids are insects that love hibiscus. So if you can wash those off and clean it up, that will help it as well.
All right. Very good, Barb. Thank you for the call. Folks on the line, stay there. Don't go away. We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll get some text messages your way, too. Light snow in the Twin Cities, officially 22 degrees, going for 25 today. We'll have a look at that forecast coming up in just a few moments. North winds at 11 now. Again, CCO temp 22. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show around every Saturday here on CCO in the 8 o'clock hour. Denny Long along with Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota Extension. Now, we have callers, Mary, as usual, and texters, too. Let's see who's been waiting. Louise is calling from Plymouth, I believe. Louise, you're on CCO with Mary.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We just moved to a new property, which has six beautiful magnolia trees on it. Some are quite mature, some are very young. And the deer have discovered them, too. And since the leaves have fallen, they are starting to strip the branches. What should we do?
Oh, Louise, this is a tough thing. I mean, the best thing for deer is obstruction, a fence, maybe live dogs out there. But short of that, you can try some of the repellents. Repellents that smell like rotten eggs are quite effective for deer. The unfortunate thing is you need to apply them very regularly, like weekly. So you can try repellents. You can try hanging things like Irish Spring soap, human hair, the smell of urine of some wild animals, fox, coyote, wolves, and so on. There are a lot of remedies like that. They work to a limited effect. But any type of obstruction you can put around the magnolias. Deer don't like to walk in things that mess up their legs. So some people have laid tomato cages lying down on their side because that means a deer got to get their feet in there and
sure.
They can get jumbled up and that makes them uncomfortable. You could try something like that for some type of an obstruction around the trees. But good luck with that.
That's a tough issue.
Oh, magnolias are so beautiful.
Yeah.
And deer, wildlife can do such damage so quickly. I think they are our most frustrating problem.
For sure. Good luck, Louise, and welcome to your new home. Dan in White Bear is on the line. Dan, what's your question for Mary?
Yes, I have three beautiful yucca plants, and I'm wondering what I should be doing to pull them through the winter. I know they're not local, but I love them.
Actually, yucca is native to Minnesota.
Believe it or not.
Yes, it's the southwestern part of the state. So yucca has a very good hardiness. We have some yucca plants at the Arboretum that have been there now almost as long as the Arboretum. It was the 60th anniversary this year. So I bet those yuccas are almost 50 years old at the Arboretum. So if the plants are planted in the ground and they have been well watered. If they're new this year, just make sure that they have some water going into the winter. You could put supplemental mulch on them, some straw, chopped leaves and so on, but that isn't really absolutely necessary. They should be fine as long as they're established in the landscape.
Okay. 651-989-9226 if you want to call in your lawn or garden question for Mary, or send a text, 81807. We have a bunch of text messages, Mary, which is not unusual. Here's one. When's the best time to prune overgrown arborvitae trees, viburnum, and spirea bushes? Can I do it now, or should I wait till spring?
Let's see. Arborvitae, spirea, and viburnum.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it now. Anytime through the winter now, you can do that. With a spirea, you might cut off the flower buds for next year. So if you're concerned about flowering, I would wait on the spirea. The arborvitae, I actually do some pruning on my arborvitae for Christmas decorations. So you can think about that now.
Okay.
So, yeah, other than the losing flowers on spirea, you can prune those now.
Again, if it's easier, if you want to send your lawn or garden question via text, 81807. Here's another one, Mary. Will a Japanese maple survive here?
Well, I used to say no, but now I could say maybe.
Mm.
In the Twin Cities, now classified as hardiness zone 5. Yes.
Is that what we've moved to zone 5?
In the cities.
In the Twin Cities.
In the cities.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So in the cities and down in the southern part of the state, there are some locations that are zone 5. And yes, I'm sure there are listeners nodding their heads saying, I have a Japanese maple. But it has to be really a protected location, like a corner on the north side of your house, perhaps, somewhere where you have some protection from winds and so on. And at the Arboretum, we have our Japanese maples in pots, and we bring them in for the winter. We do not risk keeping them outside. So it is still a risk, and depends on where you live, but maybe.
All right. Mm-hmm. As they say, it depends.
Yes.
Depends. Mary, we have to take a quick break here, reminding our listeners, we have another half hour of the show to go. So if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, bring it on us either by phone, 651-989-9226, or send Mary your text question at 81807. We'll have a look at that forecast coming right up here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show, brought to us by our good friends down near Jordan, Minnesota, that make the best patio furniture in the whole world. It's called By the Yard. We'll talk about that great family-run business in just a moment or two. Mary Meyer is here from the University of Minnesota answering your questions. As you and your colleagues have really, people love this show.
Wow, we love being on the show. Yeah. We hear from a lot of people what their concerns are. It helps us know what people are thinking mm-hmm. about. And, yes, gives us a chance to talk about extension, which is a wonderful public value for the citizens of Minnesota.
Yeah,
it's a lot of great things to help everyone growing plants and in their whole communities do better.
It's a great service for our listeners and our
yes.
citizens here. Yeah, for sure. 651-989-9226 if you want to call in your question for Mary, or send a text, 81807. Speaking of text, hi, Mary, this says, we had moved 3 large hibiscus plants, 4 feet tall, 3 large geraniums, 3 feet tall, into our unheated detached garage and forgot about it till now. They froze a bit. Will they come back if brought in the house or trimmed back? Thank you. That comes from Dan in Minnetonka.
They might. It's worth a try. We did have a couple of very cold evenings. I'm not sure how cold, though, it got in your garage. The geraniums are probably okay. They might look really weird, but they'll tops will die back, but they might grow. And the hibiscus might also. It's actually a woody plant, depending on how old it was. All the foliage will be killed, but the buds actually might come back. So if you have a sunny location, you can put them there, see what's dead and alive, prune off what's dead, or just wait and see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good luck. Mm-hmm. Texter says, Mary, can I cut back my sedum and put down mulch on it and Asian lilies, coneflowers, etc.?
You can if you're really kind of a neatnik and you want to clean things up. I don't do that, especially with sedum and coneflower. Both of those have some winter interest, and so I leave those up and enjoy what they look like in the winter. Occasionally, I will cut the sedum and actually put, although those stems can get soft, but sometimes I can put those into winter arrangements because the flowers on sedum, they're kind of interesting, add interest to winter arrangements or pots that you do outdoors. And the echinacea, right, the coneflower, has seeds in it that you will find the finches, birds will come and sit on those and feed on that in the wintertime. So for wildlife purposes and appearance, you can leave them up.
All right, very good. 651-989-9226 if you want to phone in your lawn or garden question for Mary. George is calling from Delano, I believe. Good morning, George.
Good morning.
How can we help you?
I want to know when I should prune a plum tree.
When do you plume trim a plum tree?
In the winter time, most people don't do it right now. The commercial people are all doing it late winter or early spring. So before it leaves out in the winter time, you could do it right now. The plants are getting into total dormancy. So if it's easier for you to do it now, you can. But anytime through the winter.
All right. If you want to send a text to Mary, 81807. Here's one. I brought my lime tree into the house. Now the leaves have yellowed spots appearing on them. It seems to hold its own but doesn't really grow. I have transplanted it this summer.
It may still be recovering from the transplant shock. I would just give it really good light conditions and be careful about the watering. The lime is another citrus, does need quite a bit of water, but overwatering can be a problem as well. So really good light conditions. You probably don't need to fertilize this plant because it's still recuperating. But just really as much light as possible. I have found citrus really do better in a clay pot. The plastic pots, unless they're really wide, have a lot of aeration on the top, for me, have been more problematic. Mm. So I like clay pots. They're a pain in the neck. They're ugly. They're heavy. But they allow that aeration for the roots, so there's a better amount of oxygen usually in a clay pot than there is in a plastic pot. But plastic is light, and it's easy. You don't have to water as often.
So that's a trade-off.
It's a trade-off. That's right.
651-989-9226. I see a line open if you want to fill it for a question for Mary. Or again, if it's easier, send a text, 81807. You know what we haven't done yet is talk about what's going on at the Arboretum.
Oh, wow. Yes. So the Arboretum is transforming itself this week for the big opening on Friday of Winter Lights. The joy
What's that
of
about?
Winter Lights. There are actually 14 different light displays, 14 different locations, close to the main building. There's going to be a new s'more village this year outside where you can buy s'mores. Schwamm Vineyards is having wine tasting on Friday and Saturday nights. So this light display is from Friday through Sunday. It's a weekend thing from 5 to 9 p.m. It's free with admission. If you're a member, it's free to go see at the Arboretum. But a fantastic display of lights. The huge poinsettia tree in the Great Hall will be there, and that's always fun to see. But it's a Candy Lane wonder coming in the drive, and then the gatehouse is a gumdrop house. So it's a lot of fun, a lot of lights, great for the kids to see. There'll be some events going on the weekends, I'm sure, but it starts this Friday.
It starts this Friday. I'm thinking of all the guests and family members who will be coming to town for this holiday season. What a great destination that is.
Yes, it's really a lot of fun. There are a lot of things to see inside, but you can walk outside, see the lights. Dusk is a great time to get there, so the lights really show from 5 to 9 p.m.
And how do we get there for those that don't know?
The Arboretum is on the west side of the city. It's on Highway 5, so just keep going west, just west of the intersection of 41 and 5.
Yeah, easy to find.
Yes.
All right. Sounds like fun. 651-989-9226. Speaking of which, let's go back to the phones. Tom is calling from Minneapolis, I believe. Tom, what is your question for Mary?
Yeah, we have a house that and basically it's probably zone 3, and we plant daffodils, and they do not go brown. Still in July, they're still green. There's a great quote I read online that said, you're so happy they come to the party, but then they never leave.
Thank you for that quote, Tom.
Is that a great one?
Yeah.
But yeah, they just don't go brown, and I end up cutting them back usually, like probably the first week in July, but they're still green.
Yes, I think that might have something to do with the shorter growing season and cooler weather conditions that you have in zone three. So the daffodils, and they, you know, they kind of get a later start there. So the longer you can leave them green, the better it is, the more photosynthesis they'll be doing and putting those sugars back into the bulbs for next year. Daffodils are a good plant that does become a better perennial than tulips are. So I would encourage you to keep them, let them be green as long as possible. But sometimes you can put other things with them, ferns, ornamental grasses. Other plants will grow up around them so that you don't notice that foliage green or eventually turning brown.
Thank you, Tom. Tammy from Champlin sent in a text that says this: I've got a big old long needle pine tree. It's over 50 years old. It's kind of weird shape, but it's always been healthy. During the past few weeks, it dropped about 50% of its needles and young branches. It looks terrible. What's up?
Wow. I am sorry to hear that. With the long needles, it could be our wonderful white pine, which has a long needle 5 in a bundle. The only other thing, I think you should take a picture of this and send it to the Ask a Master Gardener through extension.umn.edu online. In the fall, evergreens do lose a lot of their foliage. Now, this is foliage that's on the inside of the plant, near the main trunk and the older needles. The tips should all be green and healthy. So if it is not that, and you're seeing yellow and dying way out at the tips, there could be another problem. So take a picture of it, and hopefully we can help you through looking to see what it is. But it is normal for foliage to drop in the fall, and this can be a lot of foliage that will come out and be brown on the ground, but it's the tips should be green. If they're not, it's something else.
Okay. We had an earlier question for those that maybe tuned in late about the magnolia tree and the deer eating. Magnolia trees and deer issues. This is a suggestion. Hang CDs on the magnolia trees. Light reflects off them, and the deer don't like it. Also, Shake Away, must be a brand name, granular predator urine works great to repel deer. I hadn't heard of that.
Oh, great. Thanks.
But you had suggested about the fox and the coyote.
Yes, urine. So, right. And the CDs, that's interesting. I've heard those more for
woodpeckers.
For birds.
Yeah.
Yes. For birds, that light reflection, reflective tape and so on will often, and the movement will often deter birds. But try it out. Those are easy things that you can try that might work.
Well, you know, you suggested, Mary, earlier about Irish Spring, and my wife has had success with hibiscus trees. Now, you got to remember, you're hanging these bars of soap in a little baggie, but it kept them away.
Good.
So that part.
Irish Spring is very fragrant.
Yeah. All right. Tell you what, let's do. We need to take a quick break here for those folks on the line. Hang on, and texters as well. A text number, by the way, is 81807. We have a bunch of those, Mary, we'll have to take care of when we return after the break. Partly sunny highs today near 25, but Thanksgiving looks pretty good around here, mostly sunny, high then near 43. Right now, CCO temperature reading 22. And good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show here on A3OWCCO, again brought to us by our friends at By the Art. Denny Long here. Mary Meyer is in from the University of Minnesota Extension helping us out. And boy, I tell you what, we have so many texts. I don't want to forget about
our
texters.
People are still gardening.
Of course they are. Absolutely. 81807 is the text number. Let's see. I have to back up a little bit. Oh, here's one. Just curious, texter says, I see so many spruce tops for sale. When they cut off the tops of all these trees, what happens to the rest of the tree?
That's a good question. Yeah. I've asked people that myself. evergreens don't regenerate when the tops are cut off, but many of these come from lands where they are managed and owned by people who say it's okay or have given their okay for cutting the trees. So nobody should be wild harvesting these. It's illegal to do that. But where they are harvested, they are usually in managed lands.
Okay. In Maple Grove, Texas says, with heavy clay soil, I have lost two spires of a mature river birch, and the remaining spire had yellow leaves all summer. Thinking the soil acidity is too basic? I think they're trying to say that. Used a lot of acidifiers all summer, but it didn't seem to help. An adjacent tree 50 feet away is starting to show patches of yellow now as well. Any suggestions?
It doesn't seem like this is the right tree for the site or trees for the site. Now, river birch will have more tolerance than the white birch does, but it is very difficult to change the pH of your soil to grow trees. So it's not recommended. This is like a bucket of water into the ocean. Our soils are more alkaline around the city, so it's better off to plant trees that will grow in these alkaline conditions. So you could try a honey locust. You could try hackberries. You could try some of the new forms of disease-resistant American elms. There are some Asian elms that our foresters are recommending now for good trees to plant. So I would think about planting different species of trees there, ones that are not so intolerant of the alkaline soils.
Oh, okay. Good point. Let's go back to the phones, Mary. Jean in Stillwater has been waiting. Go ahead, Jean. Good morning.
Yes. On my apple tree this year, I ended up with some spots all over that were kind of frog green when they first came, and then they grayed out. And I found an article in my daughter's computer that said that it was a gray spot mold and that it was not toxic. But it said also that it came from the leaves. I was wondering if you know anything about that and if there's anything that I can do to get rid of it. I had a bumper crop of apples this year, but they were all spotted.
There are numerous problems that will come on apples. There are actually more insect problems than there are disease problems. It could be that you have this gray spot mold, and the recommendation for that for a homeowner, sanitation is one of the recommendations, cleaning up the foliage under the tree this time of year, cleaning it up during the year, and probably preventative sprays. But I don't like to spray my apple tree. I like to use more organic means because, of course, we want to eat all the apples that are there. So I would encourage you to look on the website for apples and growing apple trees, extension.umn.edu. Look at the pictures that are there, the foliage and the fruit to determine exactly what your issue is that you have there. Sanitation, cleanup, those are primary things to do for a homeowner.
All right, very good. Let's pick up on some text messages here, Mary. Here's one. Was it a very short-lived season for mums this year? What do you do but cover them every night?
I think it was a short-lived season for mums, although I have a centerpiece mum that still has some flowers on in my garden, underneath the leaves and underneath the snow. They tended to be later. Some of our mums that are for sale today are not so day-length sensitive, so that you can find ones that bloom earlier and earlier. At this point, yes, it's been too cold too quickly for many of our fall-blooming perennials, and I'm afraid the season is over for them. Hopefully we'll have a better year next year.
In fact, let's grab a couple of them. They're somewhat related, I'd say. First question is, when do you prune Japanese lilac trees? And the other one was, can you trim lilacs anytime now to spring?
It depends if you care about the flowers. Most people are interested in lilacs flowering, so the best time to prune them is just after they've flowered. So same goes for that Japanese tree lilac, which blooms later. So just as they finish flowering in the spring, do your pruning then. Then you will not damage any of the flower buds for next year. You won't hurt the plant if you prune them right now, but you'll be cutting off the flower buds.
All right. Here's another text, Mary, that says, I have saved my hanging fuchsias from summer. Do I cut them back now? Thank you.
You don't have to cut them back. You know, fuchsias are actually a perennial shrub. If you've traveled to some of South America, Mexico, and so on, you can see those as a fairly large shrub. So they can be grown year-round if you have bright, light, and sunny conditions. If they're getting long and leggy, you could prune them off, but you don't have to do any pruning. Again, just clean them really well because they might have insects on them and put them in a bright window. They like cooler weather conditions, which we've got that now.
Yeah, we do. For sure. When should strawberries be covered? Texter wants to know.
Now. Yes. Yeah, we wait till the soil is cold and now some frost in the top of the soil. So you can cover them now.
Okay. Another text says, I'd like to grow tulips in a container next spring. Is this possible?
It is possible. You have to cold treat the bulbs. Tulips will not flower without a cold treatment or what we call vernalization. A lot of companies are doing this for us. And so you can, the spring and through the winter, you can buy tulips already cold treated. If you buy bulbs yourself, you can put these in a pot or actually some better in a pot with soil than with water. You actually put them in a cold place or in your refrigerator for about 6 weeks. After 6 weeks of cold treatment, you could take them out and they will flower. Some varieties are better for indoor forcing than others, but if you still have some bulbs, this is one way to get them flower, especially if you cannot get your shovel in the soil because it is now frozen.
Texter says this, I know we're almost out of time. How can I keep my boxwood bushes from getting winter burn? We lost our 4-year-old boxwood bushes last winter.
Oh, last winter was horrific, wasn't it? Well, it's protection from the wind. I think burlap is probably your best protector from the wind. I have boxwood on the north side of my house. I put no protection on it, but it's because it's the north side, so it's protected from the sun and the winter winds in the south. So burlap wrapping.
Yeah, I planted, was it a year ago or so? Maybe it was more. I have about a dozen new boxwoods I planted, and they survived quite well, probably on the east, southeast.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. But you know what else works? Not to plug a client, but the wilt stop. It's a spray that kind of puts a clear clear coating on it, and it seems to help a little
wilt
bit.
Wilt proof or something.
Especially
yes.
on the Christmas trees, Christmas
commercial
wreaths.
People use those. Yes, yeah. They're to keep it, reduce transpiration.
How about their website at the U of M?
Extension.umn.edu.
Excellent. Thanks,
My
Mary.
Pleasure
it's
to
good
be
to
here,
see you.
Danny.
Happy Thanksgiving
Happy
to you and your family.
You.
I know you've got
Thank
a bunch
you.
Of folks coming over. So thanks again, Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more.
Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.